Okay. All week, I've been saying, Lord, you need to speak to me. And yesterday it came down to a panic because I still hadn't heard anything. And last night, I sat down and I scribbled some things down. But I knew in my heart of hearts, and that one, by the way, is already printed off and overheads are made and they're ready to be handed out. But I knew in my heart of hearts it wasn't the right thing for this morning. So this morning I'm standing in the shower and God says, all right, I'm ready to talk. And I'm like, well, you're a little late. I was standing in the shower, in all honesty, and I was thinking about something to eat. I got up, I was ready to eat. And the Lord said, that's what I want you to talk about. I said, okay, we're going to talk about it then. The second week in December, I'm going to have some surgery because I have something called sleep apnea. What sleep apnea is that during the night, while I'm asleep, actually sleep has five stages. It takes you an hour and a half of being unconscious. Takes you an hour and a half to get to the fifth stage, which is where your body actually experiences rejuvenation and rest. What happens to me is if the first stage is consciousness, somewhere between 2, 3, and 4, before I ever get to 5, my head tells my body that I'm about to get to 5 and it wakes me up to a different level. I don't necessarily, sometimes I become conscious, but most of the time I do not. And what happens a lot of times is that I'll be sleeping and my throat will collapse, cutting off air to my body. When the brain figures out that it's not getting enough oxygen, it causes me to, my arm will twitch, my leg will twitch, I'll roll over, I'll experience some sort of movement. Sometimes I'll go, like that. And it opens that airway back up again so that I can breathe. I had a test done. Each time you do that, it's called an interruption. I had a test made about 6 weeks ago, I guess. I have 54 interruptions per hour in my sleep. 54 interruptions per hour. So the second week in December, I'm going to have some surgery on my throat area to try and open up the passageways in there to hopefully be able to help me to sleep better. One of the things, though, that would help me tremendously, because my throat not only collapses front to back, my throat collapses side to side. And what causes the throat to collapse side to side is too much weight. So one of the best things that I can do for myself is to lose some weight. So I've been on a diet now for about a month. I've been able to be faithful about 48 hours. Yeah, that's about as good as it's gotten. About 48 hours of being good to my diet, and then something would happen in my life and I would run to my best friend. Food. I love food. I love to eat. Even as I get older, I'll experiment and try about anything. I was coming home from a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and thinking about food. And came home and took Louisiana hot sauce, jalapenos, onions. What was the other thing? Fixed up a marinade I'd never even heard of before, just kind of throwing all this stuff in it. Brought it to a boil, dropped chicken breast in it, brought that to a boil, then put it in the refrigerator to marinate all night, cooked it on the grill the next day. It was so hot it'd make the hair on your back of your neck stand up. And it was so good. Especially them jalapenos were good. Jackie said, I don't need surgery. I just need to swallow some of that stuff. It'll burn that throat open. Yes. When I was younger, I had hollow legs. Didn't make any difference what I ate or how much of it. I still stayed this big around. But something called age caught up with me. And I can still eat like I always did. It's just now I wear what I eat. Thank you. 5 years ago, I was having some physical problems. I went to the doctor and she said, you have high blood pressure. And she put me on a pill for my high blood pressure. The side effect of the pill was that emotionally, I flatlined. Was never happy. Was never sad. Didn't care about, you know, it's kind of like, That's fine. I don't care. That's fine. And I went back to the doctor and I said, I refuse to live like this. I want to come off of this medicine. And she looked at me and she said, Mr. Hall, you will take this medicine until either the day you die or you can stop taking it and you will die. And I said, no, ma'am. There's another choice. You tell me what it is I've got to do to come off this medicine, and I will do it. She said, well, if you start exercising, and if you lose 40 pounds, you might be able to come off the medicine. I said, consider it done. I dropped 40 pounds and was at that time doing some exercising. Got completely off of the blood pressure medicine. In fact, don't even take it today. But once I quit taking the medicine, I went back to my friend. I said, life is tough. Let's go get something to eat. I said, life is wonderful. Let's go get something to eat. We've got lots to do. Let's eat first. We don't have anything to do. Let's go eat. And over the last 4 years, I've put 30 of my 40 back on, and that's what I'm trying to get off is that 30 again. It lasts about 48 hours over the last 30 days. Actually, last Monday, it kicked in, and I've been real good since last Monday. Tomorrow will make 7 days of staying steadily on my diet like I'm supposed to. But the 30 days prior to that I was on my diet, it lasted about 48 hours. Because I kept going back to my friend. Spell addiction. I-T-I-O-N. I went back to my addition. Put the C. It's I-C-T. I went back to my addiction. Now, you see, the problem with a food addiction is this. Nobody ever talks to you about it because it is sociably acceptable. There's no campaign on TV like there is about stop smoking, we card until you're 18. There's nothing that says at the convenience store that says, we monitor how many honey buns or Twinkies you can buy. You see? Because my addiction is one that is sociably acceptable, I'm allowed to do it all I want and nobody thinks anything about it. But ladies and gentlemen, when we use the word addiction, what we're actually talking about, this is what your notepad's for. Those of you who are sitting there not writing down like as if you don't got a problem. And that in itself is sin. See, if I talk about dieting, we can all laugh at me and at ourselves. When we talk about what the real problem is, it's not funny anymore. So let's talk about dieting then. Do you know that after I lost 40 pounds, there was nothing that presented itself to me that said, oh, if you'll eat all this, you'll gain 30 of it back. No, actually, I gained 30 of it back one meal at a time. Because you see, my addiction starts small. Now, the reason why you don't have an outline with all this written on it is because I was writing this down on a pad coming in on 74 this morning. I've got it here, but I wasn't able to get it on something for you. And I'm going to tell you something at the end that is so smart that I know I couldn't have come up with it on my own. That's how I know this is God. It was, well, one of my vices is ice cream. Man, I love ice cream. Chocolate and cherries and nuts. It's after 12. It's time to eat. Right. And I see, that's a good word there, George. People like me, we don't see a buffet as an opportunity to eat. We see it as a personal challenge. It's me against you. And we will see who will win. But it starts off small. Just like our sin problem does. Generally, we don't jump into sin big. We entertain it. Do you realize that before I pick up something to eat, I think about what it is I'm going to pick up? Do you realize that before my sin, whatever it happens to be, I meditate on it first? Let's suppose I choose the sin of choosing to not forgive you. I think about that thing first. It starts small, and I let it grow. And what happens is that it grows on us. It's right here. I even develop jokes about it. You can tell if a guy's on the level if his bubble's in the middle. It becomes a part of who I am. It just sort of grows on me. You know, it becomes a thing that others can actually see better than I can see. Sort of like sin. Let me go back to my other analogy a second. If I choose to not forgive you, most of the time everybody else can see my anger long before I can. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm being honest with you about mine. I want you to just fill in the blanks. You may not be addicted to food. It may be something else. And I'm not going to go through a list and let you pick. The Spirit will tell you. But the more we nurture that thing, the more it grows on us. And then all of a sudden, it becomes part of who we are. You see, a couple of weeks ago was Boss's Day. My employees bought me a present. You know what it was? They fixed lunch. See, it becomes a part of who you are to where others around you feed that thing because, oh, that's what they like. It's amazing how sin, in whatever form it finds itself in, which you understand that this is the root of this. This is just the grass that grows up where you can see it. Okay? But if you're going to kill the grass, you've got to get to the root. Here's our root right here. That's a word we don't like to use much. We especially don't like for people in my position to use it. But hey, let's get well and quit playing games. All of a sudden then, going back to my other analogy, being angry and being unforgiving just becomes a part of who I am. You know, they're some of the most resentful people I've ever met in my life. All of a sudden then, what we begin to do is we begin to excuse that thing by saying, well, you know, my mother was angry, my mother's mother was angry, my mother's mother's was angry, and so I'm angry. Becomes a part of who we are. We stop dealing with it and we start excusing it. A couple weeks ago, I got just real frustrated at work. And most of you probably don't know this. Lisa Rose is working for me. And she said, well, what do you want to do about this problem? I wanted to go to Taco Bell. That was my solution. I wanted to go to Taco Bell. Now, if you know, that ain't going to solve anything. But it sure was going to make me feel better. It just becomes a part of who we are. Our sin talks. You don't think so? Ride down 74, right before you get to Sam's, there's a little green building with two K's on it, and it has a megaphone on the top that screams, and I can hear it every time I go by. It hollers, "Hot donuts!" I've heard it. I know that there's a voice that comes from out of that building. It comes from off of that roof somewhere. And I don't know how it knows when I'm riding by, but it knows when I'm riding by. And it says, "Dog, you want me?" And you know what? And I talk back to it, "Yes, I do." Stand there. Come on. It says things like, you know, you really want to go get something to eat, don't you? I got a customer who's so satisfied with us in her house that Friday she said to me, Next week, I'm bringing you the biggest banana pudding you ever saw in your life. I said, call and make sure I'm going to be here so the rest of these jokers don't get it before me. That's what I said. You see, it becomes so much a part of who you are that people who don't even know you. See, that's the thing with addiction. Addiction talks to you. It says, I got to have more. It says, you really want more. Oh, just one more time. Now, let me define a little bit addiction. I define addiction as anything that controls you. There are people addicted to their computers. They're addicted to chat rooms, TV, magazines, cars. It's things that control you. It's things that speak into your life louder than Jesus does. That's what an addiction is. We can be addicted to another person. See, we think about addictions, we think of alcohol and tobacco. But see, those are the sociably unacceptable ones. What I'm talking about is the kingdom of God and sin as a whole. I'm talking about ridding the body of Christ, beginning with Don, of his addictions. Now, let me tell you something here. I'm going to take a little sideline right here. I have no right in the kingdom to judge what your addiction is or when you should start dealing with it. Do you understand that when the Holy Spirit and I get a hold of my food addiction, when that's over, I can't go, well, thank God I got rid of that. I'm perfect now. There'll be something else that rises up. What will happen is that the heat will get turned on the gold and more of the dross will float its way up. And so you see, I can't say, oh God, I love my wife and I know what she needs help from you to overcome. No, only she and God know what she and God are working on. Now, she may tell me what she and God, just like I'm telling you what me and God are working on. But it's not my job to say, well, God, no, you don't need to be working with my wife in that area. This is more important over here. See, things have to be done in God's timetable and in God's order, not in our order, not in what I wish was different about you or what you wish was different about me, but in what God wants to work on in this moment. My addiction talks to me. It says after the fourth plate, we want more. It says to me when we go to Quincy's, that what you should do is you go and you get you an ice cream cone at the dessert bar and you fill it full of ice cream. You go back to the table and sit down. After you've finished it, you eat all the ice cream but not the cone. That way, as you're starting to leave, you fill the cone back up again. So that you have one while you're riding down the road. It talks to me all the time. Gives me wonderful ideas. Like Louisiana hot sauce and jalapenos on chicken breast. Might very well happen. It comes up with great ideas. Blue cheese dressing and bacon bits mixed in with your hamburger meat and cooked on the grill. That's good stuff. The other thing it does is that it causes pain. And for those of you worried about my stomach, I have never had. I don't have a. I don't have not one stomach problem whatsoever. Yet. My addiction causes pain. My addiction says, if you don't feed me, I'll give you a headache. If you don't feed me, I'll make your stomach roar. If you don't feed me, I'll scream till you can't even think straight. If you don't feed me, I'll make you ill. I'm talking about temperament. If you don't give me the caffeine I want, I'll split your head wide open. Addiction. It's really sin. It starts small. It grows on us. It becomes a part of who we are. It's got a voice. Sounds just like yours, doesn't it? But it causes us pain. Now, here's the part. This is the end. Here's the part that Jesus gave me this morning that is just too good. I could have never come up with it on my own. How to overcome? For me, how to be faithful between now and the next 6 weeks on my diet so that I lose as much weight as possible. First thing is resolve. And this is what I want you to write on your notes. Resolve equals want to. This is the way I heard it this morning. Resolve equals want to. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to violate your will. He'll tell you what it is He'd like for you to do. He'll turn the pressure up until your will bends to His, but He's not going to violate it. You got to have resolve. You got to have a want to. And I really don't remember what it was that happened or what was said or what was done last Monday, but I remember calling my wife on the phone and saying, I've got to get serious about this diet. And something, I turned a corner in there and have been faithful for 7 days. Resolve equals want to. Next, discipline equals willing to. Resolve equals want to. Discipline equals willing to. I have to discipline myself. When that voice hollers up and says, you wanna, I don't say, no, I don't wanna. I say, yeah, I wanna, but I'm not gonna. Some of you may not know that Lisa Rose is living with us. She works for me and she lives with us also. That rascal brings ice cream in the house. I open the refrigerator to get something else out, and there it is. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got to talk to it as much as it talks to you. When it says you want that, you've got to say, yes, I do. Because I'm not going to lie, I do want it. But I'm going to say out loud even many times, I ain't going to have it. I got 5 people who work for me. And they will come in many times. We're getting ready to run the store and get a candy bar. You want one? You know what my answer is? Yes. What do you want? No, don't get me anything. The truth is, I want one. But I'm going to discipline myself to say no. Now, this is where it gets real good on the next one. You ready? Because these two won't do it. A resolve is a want to. A discipline is a willing to. Jesus equals ability to. Jesus equals ability to. I can have all the want and all the will I want, but without Jesus, I am never going to make it. Amen. There isn't any change that is permanent in our lives that is not brought about by Jesus. I can put pressure on you. You can put pressure on me to where we put pressure on each other to where we can change each other temporarily. But the minute you're not watching, I'll sneak off and get something to eat. But how many minutes is there that Jesus is not watching? Resolve equals want to. Discipline equals willing to. But Jesus equals the ability to. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot overcome sin without Jesus. We cannot overcome our addictions without Jesus. We can never be more. You can have all the resolve and all of the discipline. I call it the little red caboose theology. I can make it. I can make it. I can. I can make it. I can make it. I can. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can Richard Simmons yourself to death. And you're not going to make it without Jesus. We can do without Richard Simmons. We can't do without Jesus. We can do without Dr. Atkins and his Atkins diet. But we can't do without Jesus. We can do without a lot of things. Let me put it this way. There will not be any permanent change in our lives except by the blood of the Lamb. But I have a part to play in the change. Want to, willing to. The third part, able to, it was done at a place called Calvary. Able to was done at a place called Calvary. It's not that I want to and I'm willing to and I'm waiting on Jesus to be able to. That even sounded ridiculous to say. It's that Jesus is able to and He's waiting on me to want to and will to. For you see, in the kingdom of God, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. So, what is your sin? Don't holler it out. What is your sin? That we just simply call addiction. That we just simply call, well, you know, that's how I am. If you want to, and if you're willing to, Jesus will give you the ability to overcome. Seven days down. About six more weeks to go. I drive to church trying to write these things down and thinking about, wonder where we're going for lunch. And lunch is not much more over. And we're driving home and I'm thinking to myself, do we need to stop by the grocery store because of supper? But I'm going to give Jesus my two-thirds. My want to and my will to. Let me say this in closing. At no point in here have I said, nor do I want to imply, that this is easy. Because it's not. I also do not want to imply or to say that it's impossible, because it's not impossible. It's possible, but it's not easy. I've spent a lot of years developing the thought patterns that are not going to change in 6 weeks. But they're never going to change until I want and will and ask for His ability. I'm sharing this with you and being as honest about myself because I want you to be free. I want you to be free. I have another socially acceptable addiction. It's called workaholic. God and I are working on that one too. I love my work. I love to work. I love to stay busy doing things. I love seeing things get done. I love seeing a problem and organizing an idea in my head on how to solve it and then working until it just gets finished. Whatever the addiction is, whatever the sin is, whatever it is that you say, well, that's just the way I've always been. I don't know if I can change or not. If you want to, if you're willing to, He will change you. It won't be easy. The enemy will scream, holler. Our sin nature. We talked about last week. W-I-I-F-M. What's in it for me? Which is nothing more than our sin nature. My sin nature screams, hollers, tells me I'm crazy. It's not really what I want to do. I deserve. But Jesus, He's not screaming at me, He's whispering. I wish He'd scream sometimes louder. But He's just whispering. Because although my sin nature will violate my will, my Savior won't. Will you commit that whatever it is He's brought to your awareness today, will you commit your want to and your will to? And then ask Him for His ability to overcome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the sin that is in the lives of your children can many times grow roots so deep. And sometimes we think to ourselves, I just can't overcome this. So Lord Jesus, I would ask You that in the hearts of Your children, that You'd give us hope. Give us encouragement. Speak a word of knowledge to our spirit. That greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. God, we thank You that You love us enough. That You will indeed turn the heat up to create a want to and a willing to in our lives. But Father, for some in this room, before it ever gets that difficult on them, I'd ask You to plant within the body of Christ we call Lamplight a desire to be sin free. Free from addiction. Free from lust. Free from desires of the flesh. Free from evilness in our eyes. Free from sin. That our lives would be cities set upon a hill with a light that cannot be hid. Jesus, we acknowledge to You that we cannot do it on our own. That except You place within us desire and ability, the start is ended in tragedy before it ever begins. But Father, we confess our sins to You today. We ask that by the power of the blood of the Lamb that You would forgive us. Set us free. We curse the whisperings of the enemy in our ear. And we ask You, O God, to make this part of your bride, as in all parts of your bride, to be without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. We ask this of you, Father, because we want our praise of your Son Jesus to be purified in the earth. We ask this because we want His kingdom to come. We ask this because we want the will of Jesus to be done. And we ask you to let it begin with me. I bless you, church, today in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the position that I've been called to, I speak a breaking of the curse over your life. The curse placed on there by yourself, the curse placed on you by someone else. By the power of the blood of the Lamb of God, I break all curses off these children. That we might walk upright and whole before our God. I bless you with the strength of the Holy Spirit to overcome every sin in your body, in your soul, to the very recesses of who and what we are in our personalities. I speak the strength of the Holy Spirit to set you free. Accept the love, the forgiveness of a Father God who loves you, and go free in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a good day.